Log Talk Radio.
Of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution
comes. When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straightened heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know, and I know, niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
Black power, black power, and more black power to my people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Sean Saddam Kweli, and as always, I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this a joy. This is an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio. And as we do every Monday night, we come to you with the facts, undiluted, unmixed, untampered with in any form. No cut on it, straight, no chaser with that black history. And of course, we send you greetings in whatever language that you use, whether you say Assalamu Alaikum, or Hotep, Shalom, Peace, say Jah, Rastafari, whatever language that you use, we say peace to you here on Black Power Radio tonight. And of course, we bear witness to the greatness of the one God, and that we bear witness regardless to the land, the label, or language that is spoken. There's only one God, and we got to give thanks and bear witness to that God in the masculine and feminine expression. We give thanks to our ancestors, the great mothers and fathers of civilizations, the great kings and queens of this planet, and, you know, the original government on the face of the planet Earth. Whereas we know that the planet Earth is our home. The planet Earth is our home, but most definitely Africa as a continent is our throne, and we ruled 196,940,000 square miles of Earth from our throne called Africa. And so we give thanks to them, the original governments, those who gave us the original laws, those who gave us the original manuscripts, those who started the original spiritualities in the world. I mean, whatever you can think of, when you want to think about the way that the planet was formed and the way that it began, you have to go back to that black woman, and you got to go back to that black man. And it makes no difference what type of terminology you want to use, whether you say sub-Saharan Africans, or some of them went into the old colloquial language and used the term Lucy and all kind of stuff. Whatever term that you want to use, the black man and black woman, the aboriginal man and original woman, that's who we are. We are the origin of it all. So we give thanks to our people for doing what they did, carrying on civilization and continuing a historical legacy of greatness that came from the God himself. We give thanks to our people who preserved the knowledges, wrote our history down in stone, knew that at a particular point in time, we would be robbed of self-knowledge. And when I say we, I know that we have many listeners listening. I know that we are broadcasting to different parts of the country, different continents. I know that many are from different cultures and all of this. But when I say we, I'm talking specifically to the black man and black woman here in what we call the hells and smells of North America. It is us who, according to a prophecy that many of you all read, if you believe in it, in the Old Testament, that was struck a blow to the head, and that we had lost the knowledge of ourselves, and we were taken on a westerly course. And it was us who had to be served, who had to serve and be afflicted for a term of 400 years. Now, I know that in many places you read about that happening to a people called the Jews. But the truth be told, and the fact of the matter is that there is no Jewish people who had served and had to serve and were afflicted for a term of 400 years. The only Jew people, the original Hebrew people, who that happened to was your and my people. We are the original Hebrews. Those who call themselves Jews in today's times are converts to the faith. And so it was us. And the prophecy goes on to say that the black man and black woman after that time would come out of that land. Paraphrasing, read it for yourself there. I think it's in the book of Genesis. They would come out of that land with great sustenance. Okay? And so, it's talking about us. As we comb the scriptures, whether you're looking at Medu Natur and the Kemetic days, or what they call the Egyptology studies, whether you're looking in the Bible, whether Old Testament or Torah, what the Jews use, or New Testament, or what the Injil, what was the later revelation called the Gospel, or if you're looking at the very world-renowned book known across the globe called Quran, that is followed by Muslims around the world and followed by Masons and others in secret, no matter what scripture that you look in, or what other names that you look in of scripture, you can find, and we can find, no other people fitting the description of the lost brother, the lost sister, the lost sheep, better than we, the 40 to 50 million black men and women here in the hills and smells of North America. And so it's important to know that the black man and black woman are a lost people in America, and that we have been estranged from our people in the East. We have been robbed of our raiment, stripped of our raiment. We have lost language. We have lost culture. We have lost folkways. We have lost norms. We have lost power. And so, as history records, whenever a people are lost, or whenever a people are taken away from the path of peace or righteousness or that which is just, history records that there are always redeemers. There are always liberators. There are always helpers. There are always revolutionaries who will come from among that people, messengers even, prophets even, and will come from among that people and will bring you the message from that people's creator, but also will bring you a liberatory action to tell you, to tell me, to tell them to separate themselves from the no good taskmasters that they once served. And so, as it happened 4,000 years ago, and happened 2,000 years ago, and as it happened 1,000 years ago, and as it's happening and happened right now today, we have liberators who have come from amongst our people, who have come to teach us a knowledge of ourselves, to teach us, to reteach us our names again, to reteach us our languages again, to reteach us our culture again, to make us a whole people again, to remind us that we are a nation of our own and that we have a nation of our own, and that we must do what it takes and do what any civilized people would do, which would be to unite amongst ourselves. And so, we have to give thanks on Black Power Radio and wherever we go, and you should wherever you go. You should give thanks for the greats who have come among you, the great warriors, men and women, who have come among your people and our people to pick us up out of the mud. You should, every time you wake up, give thanks and give praise and give honor to those who have helped us to move forward past the conditions that we were in and the conditions that we find ourselves in now. And so you have to, of course, and if we were in the meetings of the new Black Panther Party, of course we would be in there saying Ashe. So wherever you are in the radio listening audience, you be sure to say Ashe out loud or say it to yourselves as I'm mentioning some of these names. Not all of the names are men or women who have passed on, but some of them are. And so Ashe, meaning so shall it be, or let it be done, you know. And we're giving an acknowledgement to our great ones. And so when I mention names like Marian Anderson, and I mention the great name of Maya Angelou, and mention the great name of Josephine Baker, when I mention the great name of James Booker, you know, when I mention the great name of Grace Bumbray, when I mention the name of Congresswoman Julia Carson, and mention the great name of Anthony Davis and W.E.B. Du Bois, when I mention the name of Alex Haley, mention the name of Marcus Mosiah Garvey, we've mentioned the name of Virginia Hamilton, we've mentioned the name of the great Billie Holiday, we've mentioned the names of the great Langston Hughes. Mention the name of the great Zora Hurston. We mentioned the names of the great Barbara Jordan. And we mentioned the names of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We mentioned the great names of those in modern context like Sister Cynthia McKinney. We mentioned the names of the Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun. We mentioned the name of the great Sidney Poitier, and we've mentioned the name of so many have helped us. We mentioned the names of those like Noble Drew Ali. We've mentioned the name like one Mr. Elijah Muhammad. Mentioned the name like one Minister Malcolm X. We've mentioned the names, of course, of Carter G. Woodson. Okay, we've mentioned their name. We've mentioned their names because we have to invoke their greatness. We've mentioned the names of all the Black Panther Party of yesterday from Lowndes County, Alabama, that was being spearheaded by a great man, the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, and all those who were with him, and the names of those like Max Stanford and others who did a great work in moving that Panther image around to our people and putting that into the minds and hearts of our people. We're thankful. Max Stanford and the great Mark Comfort, who took that Panther up into the Bay Area and was teaching and training men and women up there, and moved that Panther around into Oakland, California, and talked about and met with two Black men who you later knew as the Minister of Defense, Huey P. Newton, and Chairman Bobby Seale, founder and co-founder of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, 1966, from Oakland, California. We give thanks for all of them, all of their struggle, all of their sacrifice, all of their work, and the foundation that they laid, mostly some young men and women. I want to stress that on Black Power Radio. Mostly some young men and women who really were in their teens. They could have easily been, doing what teenagers do or what early 20-year-olds do, getting into whatever. But they had put their whatever to the side to be able to struggle for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. And so, carrying on in the spirit of Minister Malcolm X, they pushed forward. And so we give thanks for them on Black Power Radio. Of course, giving thanks to those who came after them, like the Black Liberation Army and those who would work, who took a stance of armed resistance against the pig and oppressors of our people, who went to expropriate and finance the Black Revolution, who, when the comrades got locked down, they made a pact that there would be no BLA member, no blob member, as they call it, no blob member left behind, that they would leave none locked down in the concentration camps and the prisons of America, but that they would do everything in their power to liberate the comrades. And so we give thanks for the Black Liberation Army, as we call them, the Black Angels. Give thanks for the liberations of men and women, and most notably, comrade warrior, Sister Asada Shakur, who you famously know was liberated and is there in Cuba right now underneath the Castro regime, the Castro protection and other protections. We give thanks for that. We give thanks for the greats who you must know, like Adam Clayton Powell Jr. and Percy Julian and Hank Aaron and Sam Lacey and Wendell Smith and Rosa Parks and Satchel Paige. You got to know your people. Giving thanks for Bessie Coleman and Bass Reeves and Josephine Baker and Doris Miller and Benjamin O. Davis Jr., Joe Lewis, Larry Dolby, Langston Hughes, Thurgood Marshall, William Hasty, Chamberlain, Harriet Tubman, Jackie Robinson, Elijah McCoy. You know, I mean, literally you could just run the names of Lewis Latimer and Fred Jones and Lloyd Hall and Charles Drew, George Washington Carver, and other geniuses amongst your people who have given us enough example in different fields of study that we are not animals and that we as black people are not savages, not naturally, but that we have a natural God-given talent and genius innately buried within us as a people that must be resurrected. That if we are indeed the original people and the first people, we are the builders of the pyramids. We are the builders of the so-called Sphinx. We are the layout practitioners of the aggregation systems over there. We did all of that as a people. It's in your DNA, black man and black woman. But we are fast asleep in America. We've been put to sleep by a number of resources and put to sleep by a number of avenues on purpose. And so just as it was yesterday, it is the same today, that we must have redeemers who come amongst us, liberators who come amongst us, revolutionaries who come amongst us and raise up other warriors and turn the light on in your head. And so the Black Panther Party of yesterday, the Vanguard movements of yesterday, the Nation of Islam of yesterday, the UNIA of yesterday, and other movements of yesterday, RAM, other movements were attacked under a no good bastard devil named J. Edgar Hoover, whose express purpose, statement of purpose, was to stop the rise of a black messiah who he feared would electrify and unify the black man and black woman, in particular black youth, around a ideology that we practice called black nationalism, meaning to control your own politics, meaning to control your own economics, meaning to control your own food supplies, meaning to control your own means of production, meaning to control your very images that come across the screen and come across even your minds and newspapers. That's what black nationalism is about. Black nationalism is about black people being in power of themselves. Self-determination called Kujichagulia. That's what J. Edgar Hoover feared. He feared the rise of a black messiah, a black people who would rise and take control of their lives, no longer wanting to be a tool and a fool and a slave for white America, no longer wanting to be deaf, dumb, and blind, fast asleep, and left behind at the expense of a blood-sucking capitalist economy and a system that was set up to keep whiteness elevated and white teachings elevated, and those who would promote those and that in blackface elevated and propped before your people. No longer wanting to be a tool and a fool for the white man, but absolutely wanting to be original and like we were in the beginning, which was in charge. And so J. Edgar Hoover began to attack, and he began to use, he was the director of the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. He began to attack every single black organization, Indian organization, Chicano organization that he could. He even began to attack some of the white organizations, what they called the white left organizations. He attacked everything that he could to stop this rise of a black messiah. But what J. Edgar Hoover didn't know was we are like baby's kids. We don't die, we multiply. And so even though he jailed many members, even though they set up many members and assassinated in some cases members, such as in Chairman Fred Hampton Sr. and Mark Clark, who we talked to his son last week on Black Power Radio, even though there were many even before and after them, who were killed either by Hoover's hands, FBI setups, or by the punk pig police in America. Even though that was what the odds were, they still survived and thrived. And that Panther spirit, even though by 1974, really the organization's spirit was broken, the vanguard spirit in America was broke. There were men and women who would still organize, fractionalize. They would still organize in pieces. They would still keep the mission alive the best way they could, even if they couldn't do anything, but put it into the music. And so you had those putting revolutionary lyrics and content into the music. You had those who were teaching on the college campus. You had those who were organizing newspapers, doing poetry slams and all kind of ways to keep the Panther spirit alive. That Panther spirit would take root in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with an alderman there named Michael McGee, who was an OG, an old guard Black Panther member. And he wanted and knew that we had to reform the Panther in America, because guess what, brothers and sisters? The mission was not complete. The Black Panthers of yesterday, like the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey of yesterday, had a 10-point plan and program. Like the Nation of Islam of yesterday had a 10-point plan and program. Like other organizations that Hoover and his FBI, his bloodthirsty, ravenous wolves were sicked after, that they had a 10-point plan of yesterday. That 10-point plan of yesterday was incomplete, because the program is only complete when you have freedom, justice, and equality for Black men and women in America and the world over. And so they rebuilt out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then it moved to a radio producer in Dallas, Texas, who had hooked up with that alderman out of Milwaukee, and they wanted to work to rebuild the movement. That same year, which was 1989, Huey P. Newton was killed by a low-ranking member of the BGF named Tyrone Robinson, assassinated by Tyrone Robinson, and the Panther they thought was dead. But that same year, those brothers went to organize in that spirit to rebuild the movement that had been thus almost destroyed by Hoover and infighting, COINTELPRO, and a destruction of a spirit. I want y'all to follow me on this as we talk about Chokwe Lumumba. We talk about the mission to be pushed forward, as we talk about his son, as we talk about the mission at hand that faces Black men and women, and faces you wherever you are, that faces you wherever you are in 2014, going into 2015 by the grace of God. They restarted the movement in Dallas, Texas, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And from just that start, as it was in the beginning, as it is in the ending, they moved chapters around. Other members came. They begin to organize with certain maneuvers and programs to win the minds and hearts of the people and show the people that resistance is possible against oppression and against injustice. They begin to move against the school board systems. They begin to move against racist white people. They begin to move against police who would exercise their law judicial powers, or their law protecting powers over the upside of the backside of your behind and in your forehead. They begin to move on the issues of our community dealing with the economics. They begin to move in general in America, and they ultimately would hook up with a Black man, soldier at heart, first starting as an athlete and an academic down there in Dillard University and Pepperdine University. He was a man who was a part of the excelled learning school classes. He was a very, very intellectual individual. And he was a member in his high school days of his debate team, later to become a football quarterback. I'm talking about a all-around dynamic individual who had heard that Black man who just celebrated 81 years of birth yesterday, he heard Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was national spokesman of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, on his college campus. And that pricked something in him, as many of us, pricked something in him and woke him up to his blackness. And he began to go to work to help that man and help that mission. And from that point on into the departure of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 75, they worked together and he worked with the Nation of Islam. Past 75, when the Nation of Islam had changed direction and it went into the hands of Elijah Muhammad's son, he began to work under a different name, named Brother Rashidin, Malik Rashidin. He began to maneuver and work under that name and still with power, black nationalism, teach the teaching, even though the nation had changed direction. And he would maneuver all around the country and the globe, ultimately going all the way into Israel, going into Africa, going up into all parts of different continents to awaken our people and fight the apartheid movement and fight the white power structure all over the world and wake our people up to our own knowledge and get our own foot out our own way. Talking about a man who was called Malik Rashidin, who would link up with Idi Amin. Y'all know Idi Amin, the man who they say was eating people, even though they lied on that brother and tried to slander that brother and call him all kind of negative names. They say Idi Amin was eating people, but Idi Amin was making the Queen of England bow down. He had white people who was kissing his boot heel, carrying him around on a throne. That was Idi Amin. Malik Rashidin at that time linked up with Idi Amin, and they would go to fight the apartheid forces and fight the colonial forces that were there at that time. He served as a lieutenant, straight guerrilla soldier with Idi Amin, and then he got the call that Minister Louis Farrakhan, or the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, was rebuilding the work of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he got that call to come back. He came on back and began to work, took the flank, took the position, becoming later the supreme captain, which means he was over all the military, the whole military he was over. And he began to work and to rebuild and to move and to shake and to wake the minds and hearts of our people up here in America, moving it forward. He began to be, from that, the national assistant, national spokesman. He had all the positions at one particular point. And in 1993, King College, I believe it was, 93, he got into some controversy with a lecture he did called The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. And he broke down on the campus of King College a topic that was very controversial at that time as to why the so-called Jew, as he called them, why the so-called Jews would be the bloodsuckers of the poor and why they would continue to capitalize and get rich off of the exploitation of black people. And he laid that topic out. He went into the Pope and called him a no good cracker and said that somebody should lift up the skirt of the cracker and see what's under there. He went into these bastards and laid them out. He got into a little issue there in the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam ultimately had to, was forced to, from their decision, suspend him. And ultimately from a suspension, he ended up having to continue to move and to wake our people up as he was put on this planet to do. Couldn't wait on a suspension to figure out what he was going to do with his life. He was put here to raise our people up. And so he began to keep moving and keep shaking and keep doing what he was put on this earth to do. And in 1994, Riverside, California, a man by the name of James Best tried an assassination attempt on now the man who I'm going to tell you, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. That was his name. And tried to kill him and take him out. Shots rang out. Shots hit all kind of Bloods and Crips who were there to protect our former chairman and there to protect his life and protect his family's life. Shots rang out. They tackled the man, tried to get the gun from the man and shoot the man in the head and kill him dead Ultimately, he was spared and protected by the police, the same way the killers of Minister Malcolm X were protected by the police when the crowd tried to beat the killers of El-Haj Malik Shabazz, Brother Omar Wiley, to death. And so he was spared, talking about James Best. We later found out that it was a plan there by the JDL, called the Jewish Defense League. It was a plan in place in coercion or in connection with James Best to assassinate not only the character, but assassinate the physicality of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We would later find these things out, but he survived by the grace of God. But he had to get some protection, as he didn't have his Nation of Islam brothers and sisters really with him anymore. Not many of them would be around him now that he was in the suspense mode with the Keene College situation. And so he was able to, with the help of a man I'm going to tell you about in a few moments, he was able to link up with that Dallas group with Aaron Michaels. He was able to link up with that group out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with Michael McGee. He was able to link up with some Panthers. And them Panthers were able to protect his life and make sure that nothing happened to him, that nobody would kill that voice of revolution that God had sent for the black man and black woman in the hells and smells of North America. And from that point on, by late 1997, he was elected and appointed the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party, right, officially in 1998, the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party. And he spread this Panther Party all over the globe, even went all the way into Egypt and everywhere with this bad boy, all over into London, all kind of places. He went with this new Black Panther Party, this party that had caused so much controversy, that nobody wanted to renew, that many, most, did not want to revisit. Many, even, who had carried the name previously, they didn't want the fire that came with calling yourself a Panther and representing the life and living the life of a Panther in North America and in the world. They didn't want that. It was the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad who would re-champion the cry of black power made popular by Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, and Mukasa Ricks, formerly Willie Ricks. It was the Honorable Khalid Muhammad who would put black power into the minds and hearts of the youth again. It was Dr. Khalid Muhammad who would link up with the Chuck D's, link up with the Flavor Flays. He would link up with the Cams. He would link up with the Tupacs. He would link up with the Ice Cubes. It was Khalid Muhammad who would put that revolutionary spirit, that liberatory spirit, into the minds and hearts of our people so that they could put it into the music so that it could get with you. And so in that same link up was made possible by a few other brothers and sisters. Now, none of us are here by ourselves. And so we have to give thanks to a man who helped to lay the foundation all along the way, as he was serving as that man, Dr. Khalid Muhammad's national spokesman, formerly National Minister of Justice. And he would crisscross the country to make the message known and defend the black power general against any detractor. He would attack anybody who attacked him. When Mayor Rudolph Giuliani tried to stop the Million Youth March 1998, tried all kinds of legal injunction, tried all kinds of scare tactics and propaganda moves, it was a black man from Howard University, a law student, a man who had been following Dr. Khalid Muhammad since the late 80s and following Minister Farrakhan since the late 80s and following the great progressives since his college days. And he would begin to travel with these black men and women and organize with them and help them. And so he would come to the defense of Dr. Khalid Muhammad against Rudy Giuliani, who tried to, as they say in the streets, he tried to play a hate against the Million Youth March 1998. You old hater, You old wig-wearing hater, he tried to play a hate talking about Rudy Giuliani. But he was thwarted. His moves were blocked by a bold revolutionary attorney who passed his law exam, his bar exam, on the first time around. He was that man responsible for putting Dr. Khalid Muhammad against that old slimy Phil Donahue. That old Phil Donahue, if you can remember his show and remember the impact that Dr. Khalid Muhammad had on the Donahue show, it was a man by the name of Attorney Malik Shabazz who made that possible, who organized speaking engagements like the Black Holocaust conferences and other things that he put forth at a time when people wouldn't touch Dr. Khalid Muhammad with a 20-foot pole. See, it's easy to walk with somebody when everything is cool. It's easy to walk with Sean Saddam Kweli when everything's cool, or Chairman Hashim Nzinga when everything's cool. But will you walk with us in the new Black Panther Party when the heat is on us, when the Justice Department is on us, when people don't understand the moves, when you got reactionary racists saying they're going to meet you head on somewhere, will you walk with us then? He walked with Dr. Khalid Muhammad through the heat of the day and was able to carry on the mission when the Black Power General made his physical transition from amongst us in 2001, made his transition in 2001. He was able to pick up the banner and carry the torch, and that's not an easy thing. He became the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party in 2001 and rocked that bad boy all the way into 2013, last year, about November 2013. He carried that legacy and carried that torch, going on numerous missions, all into Katrina, all into Duke, all over the place, all into Newberry, South Carolina, all up on the West Coast, the East Coast, rallies here, battles with the police there. I mean, just everywhere. I witnessed him, thousands and thousands of his own money, just to be with his own people and organize us in a way that's suitable for us to rise. I'm talking about Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is the chairman emeritus of the organization, longest standing chairman of the new Black Panther Party or any Black Panther Party. And he, as any great leader, any great general, any great friend, any great brother, knowing that his time has come to ascend to do something else. In the same liberatory fashion, you got to, as it was passed to you, by default, you got to pass it on while you're here. And so he passed it on with clear instructions and clear guidance to a Black man who was there in Riverside, California. He was there when the shots rang out. He was there when Dr. Khalid Muhammad needed a shoulder to cry on. He was there when others would not secure him. He was there sometimes not with just one pistol, with two pistols. He was there when Dr. Khalid Muhammad, just as you saw some of you in the video, needed him just to hold a sign that showed the atrocities of our people from the transatlantic slave trade. He was there. And so he was there for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad. And he was there as National Chief of Staff for Attorney Malik Shabazz. He was National Assistant to the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad and became National Chief of Staff to Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, the warrior lawyer. And for 12 straight years, carried the banner side by side with his brother and our brother and comrade, and carried the day-to-day activities of this party with him, being targeted, having to wear bulletproof vest at times, and sometimes not having no vest, just going where you got to go and trusting in God and God alone, God and your gun, as Khalid Muhammad teach. He moved and maneuvered and soldiered, coming up out of Dallas, Texas, with a man named Professor Sims. You saw him on the Donahue Show crushing Donahue and others with the Metropolitan African American think tank called MIAT. He began to organize black people to take control of our destiny and know what's happening with our people and be re-educated. He did that with some others, and it became his time in late 2013, and now in 2014, as our national chairman, standing strong, standing tall, standing bold, and growing by the second. For anybody who has not witnessed the growth of this man, I tell you, just pay attention. He is a completely transformed and transfigured Hashim Nzinga, above ground, on top of the ground, on top of the soil, on top of the globe. Hashim Nzinga crisscrossing the country, moving from pillar to post in a dignified fashion, representing the new Black Panther Party in a righteous manner. I'm talking about your national chairman, New Black Panther Party, a man who has put his blood, sweat, and tears into the organization, not for himself, but for the future generations, who has stood up institutions now producing the first national headquarters of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And his works will be unrivaled and unmatched unless you're born for it. And that is black power to everybody who are named on this broadcast. And the reason why I had to give you all of that history, New Black Panther Party, and listening audience, is to let you know that you are standing on the foundation, on the shoulders of some great men and women in this organization and in the world. You're standing on the shoulders of men and women who overcame all kinds of obstacles. You are not alone. In whatever city that you're in whatever town that you're in whatever province that you're in, you are not alone. You have ancestors, some like Sister Harriet Tubman, who had to go through the swamps with dogs on her heels, boot heels. Sometimes no heels, just her bare feet and those with her. She had to go through the swamps and couldn't look back. You had those like Thurgood Marshall, who was the first black justice of the Supreme Court and was a civil rights lawyer who pushed for justice and fought against no good races all the while. You had those who pushed for you, black man and black woman, in the past pretext and in the present pretext, and we're pushing today. And that's why we must talk about the memory of Chokwe Lumumba, who the question is swirling around him now. Was he assassinated? Was Chokwe, the Honorable Mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, was the Honorable Chokwe Lumumba assassinated? Or did he just die of natural causes? Now, we know how these things go. And we didn't just wake up yesterday. We have seen too many times that brothers and sisters will go into a hospital with a clean bill of health, but then will not be able to make their way out of the hospital with a clean bill of health. We know that the healthcare industry is involved, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, with the destruction, the physical destruction of many great men and great women and the black community in general. We know that even though some of you would dismiss these types of things as conspiracy theory, we understand how those with the mind of a J. Edgar Hoover in 2014, we understand how you work. And we understand that if you can take out the ones who you believe have the light in these dark times, in this dark hour, that you believe that you can take away the liberation of black people. If you can slip something in their drink, if you can do something to put something in their veins, if you can put something in their stomach, or if you can outright cause to make it look like they ran off the road, or, you know, sometimes in extreme cases, shoot them down direct, as in the case of a Martin Luther King Jr., or as in the case of a minister, Malcolm X. We know how your history is. And so in looking at a Chokwe Lumumba, we would be foolish to think that just because that black man was in the hospital and was on the phone and talking and doing his day-to-day activities, we would be foolish to believe that just because he was up and talking that something funny didn't happen. I even, and we even, keep the same possibility, knowing his medical conditions and medical history, we keep the same possibility open even for the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we'll never close the door on the possibility of the intervention, the evil, savage, nasty, sick intervention of forces against the rise of our people, against the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. And so we know how you operate. And so we are happy to hear that young brother Antar Chokwe, the son of the Honorable Chokwe Lumumba, we are happy to hear that he has continued the fight, that he has pushed, Brother Chokwe Antar Lumumba, that he has continued the fight, and that even though he did not win the election seat of his father, that he has continued to push for those who are in need, those of our people in Jackson, Mississippi, who are in want, and those around the world who must be raised to a living perpendicular. We are thankful that he is making history, and that that Chokwe Lumumba's daughter is making history, and that whole family is making history. And we want you all to continue to support him and to support the Lumumba family and those who are there in Jackson, or any supporters or comrades of ours who are listening, who are in Jackson, that you offer protection to Chokwe Antar Lumumba and Sister Ricky and all of those who are members of the family of the Honorable Mayor Chokwe Lumumba. We ask that you protect them and that you keep them safe in this hour, and that we continue to work with them and wrap our arms around them. It was just a few days ago, I believe it was the 9th, if I'm not mistaken. I'll get your actual fact in just a moment. I believe it was a few days ago that we had to just celebrate the life of Malcolm Shabazz. Malcolm Shabazz, yeah, the 9th it was. We had to celebrate his life as he went into Mexico City, and I believe, and many of us believe, was set up and assassinated. That's what I said. He was set up and assassinated. Went down there into Mexico City. Little labor group down there, and was supposed to be organizing some labor moves down there. See, just like Martin Luther King Jr. was organizing some labor moves and some labor strikes. He was in Mexico organizing some labor moves, and he ends up beaten to death and dead, and the people that he was there with ran and left him. Surveillance nowhere to be found. Audio nowhere to be found. Initial people who were accused of the crime nowhere to be found. See, you got to look at it for what it is, and you got to understand that there's a death sentence on black people because you are not meant to survive. You are meant, and we are meant for destruction in white America. Everywhere we look, the odds are stacked against us. The prison industrial complex opens the jails wide so they can receive us. In some countries, they're having to close down prisons because there's not enough people there to fill the prisons up. But in America, America incarcerates more men and women, in particular black men and women, than any other country on the face of the earth. More money spent on the building of penitentiaries and the prison industrial complex than what is spent into true education and into true health care and into true good housing. More money spent on keeping you either incarcerated and keeping us incarcerated or dead than spent anywhere else. So you got to look at it for what it is. Malcolm Chabaz killed May 9th, 2013 in Mexico City organizing the labor strikes. The Honorable Chokwe Lumumba goes into the hospital just for a routine checkup. That's what I was told it was. He, you know, went in for a routine checkup in good spirit, laughing, talking. He was supposed to give the keynote address at our national summit. He was on the phone with our national chairman. We were making all of the arrangements, getting this flight information together. And then we get the word, February the 25th of this year, that the Honorable Chokwe, Honorable Mayor Chokwe Lumumba, that great revolutionary, that great Republic of New Africa soldier, that great liberationist, that great attorney for Mumia Abu-Jamal, that great attorney for Brother Mutulu Shakur, Comrade Mutulu Shakur, that great attorney for the Move sisters and the Scott sisters, that great attorney for so many of our freedom fighters. He was gone. And we got that word, and all of us were crushed. I cannot fail to mention the great Geronimo Jijaga Pratt, who he represented. We were crushed. I mean, literally, in a moment of not just silence, but in a moment of disbelief. And we understand. We've been through this. We know that people will leave you and that people can be taken from you. But when you are talking to that black man, he's in good health, nothing wrong with him, all that type of stuff, and then you get the next call, he's gone from you. It takes you. And if any of you have been through that with family members or anything, anybody close to you, you know what I'm saying. And so I want to take this moment to give a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who celebrated, the other day for the national holiday of Mother's Day. If you celebrate, we say Mother's Day is 365. We celebrate Mother's Day as new Africans or Africans 365. But taking a moment just to salute our mothers and the sister warriors out there who are raising young black men and black women who are raising villages. I'm one of those who was raised by a village, but I got a strong black mother. You know what I mean? So we give you a salute. And so we were hurt, and all of us were crushed at the loss. But we have to now look at something that Dr. John Henry Clark, Ashe, talked about. Another great scholar and thinker from amongst us, theologian from amongst us. He taught about that we must bury the man or bury the woman, but continue the plan. We must bury the man or bury the woman, but we must continue the plan. I'm here to tell you, I've already got my marching orders. If something, God forbid, happens to one of our great warriors, or if something, God forbid, happens to me, you've already got your marching orders to continue the plan. You don't have to ask, what would the National Chief of Staff, Sean Saddam Kweli, what would he say? What would he do? You don't have to ask that question. You don't have to ask, what would your National Chairman, Hashim Nzinga, do? You know what we would do. We would continue to plan. We would tell you, continue, as our brothers and sisters on our mother continent say. A loop to continue, or the struggle continues. We'd say continue. We'd say forward ever, backward never, as they say. We say forward ever, backward never. So you already know that we have to look at this situation, not just in Jackson, Mississippi, but we have to look at the situations of black mayors all throughout America. You've heard, those of you who follow Black Power Radio, you've heard our sister, Dr. Vanessa Williams, with the National Conference of Black Mayors. You've heard her on and heard her talk about the struggle that they've had with black mayors and the treatment of black mayors and the different attacks black mayors have gone under. But you've also heard her talk about the representation of the black mayors and those who you may not know who have a revolutionary spirit, even though they're in office, who have your back as Panthers and who want to see the new Black Panther Party succeed, even though they're in office, even though they hold state positions. And that's something that some of you out there are going to have to come to grips with real fast, that just because some brothers and sisters are in suit and tie, white collared shirt and tie, and they may be in a specific position, you know, that does not automatically make them a coon or, you know, a Tom or what have you. It doesn't make them that. You have to check that spirit, check that motive, and see where they're going with that thing. Because some of them are playing that, as it's, as Sam Greenlee talked about, that spook that sat behind the door. Some of them are really behind the doors, looking to open the doors for you when they see you coming. But if they don't see you coming, they can't open the doors. If they don't see you out there kicking up dust in a righteous way, putting pressure on the opposition of our people and the opposers of our righteousness, they can't open no doors for you. So you got to be doing your job. And we got to be doing our job. And they got to be doing their job. And so some of them are out there to help us. And so they're working. And we got to look at the condition of black mayors and black politics throughout America. Because we have been, as you have seen, most of black America, black men and women, Africans in America, have been dismally disappointed with the President Barack Obama. Some of you are ecstatic, and you don't care what he does. You don't care what he says. You don't care how he says it. Makes no difference what he signs into law or to policy that has a negative effect on you. Don't give a damn. You're just happy that he's black, and you want him in office because he's black, and you know that's some of you all's position. And you know, to some degree, I can understand where you're coming from, but I say that that is not revolutionary in the least. You wouldn't have done Papa Doc like that in Haiti. You for sure wouldn't have done Clarence Thomas like that. You wouldn't even have done Colin Powell like that. You wouldn't have done Condoleezza Rice like that. You wouldn't have done a whole bunch of them like that. But all it took was that black man to flash that smile and offer you change, which is revolution. See, you thought you was getting something revolutionary. But what it turned out to be was the same old, more of the status quo. More backing of the bankers, more bailing out Wall Street, more bailing out the automotive industry, less attention paid to the black community and black issues and, you know, resources, strong resource put from a federal level into the black colleges and, you know, black universities, black communities and whatnot, black farmers who just lost a suit the other day. I saw a historical black bookstore that it closed down the other day. You know, less resource into things like that. And then you saw the avenues open up wide for the gay community. You saw the avenues open up wide for the lesbian community. You saw the avenues open up wide for the transsexual community under the administration of President Barack Hussein Obama. So you got to ask yourself, what have you benefited so far since 2008 now to 2014? What has been the political benefit? We're not dealing with emotion here. We're talking about land, bread, clothing, housing, justice, peace. What has been the political benefits of your existence now underneath the black president or black president, even though he's, you know, mixed. You know, we give him that black presidency. What has been the benefit? Was that what Shirley Chisholm was pushing for? Has it lived up to the expectations of a Shirley Chisholm or those like her who ran for office before him? Has he lived up to the expectations of Sister Fannie Lou Hamer? Has he lived up to the expectations of Queen Mother Moore? See, you got to ask yourself these questions, because I named all of these great black men and women in the beginning, because why? That's the yardstick. Those are the measuring sticks which we have to measure ourselves by as black men and women. And so is he up to par? You know, and I'm not here just to lambast him, just to lambast him. I'm just asking you straight up, has it been what it is cracked up to be? And if it hasn't been, black man and black woman, as I'm going to take your calls here tonight at 646-478-4447. If you're out there listening to me and can get in this discussion, I'm going to ask you straight up, what has been the benefit of what we call plantation politics? What has been the benefit of the existence so far underneath all that we have went through since 2008? What have we gained? Somebody has to tell me, and somebody gonna have to be you're gonna have to be, you know, frank and unemotional with this conversation, because I get the fact, I get it, that he's a black man, and the new Black Panther Party was very much rooting for him to do something very revolutionary, if possible. We understand all of that, the constraints and all of that, I get it. But we you know, you, all of us, we're here like, yeah, hopefully he do something, you know. You saw Attorney Malik Shabazz and the pictures of him as senator marching across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I mean, we had all, you know, crossed paths a time or two before. You know what I mean? So, you know, we were hoping. You say, hell, you know, he come up out of Chicago. You see the conditions of Chicago, you know. We were hoping. You get up in there just like everybody else that he did something. And so Attorney Shabazz, you know, as our chairman, I said, let's see what the black man do. Let's not just blast him in the public and go too hard on him just yet. Let's see what he do. And I'll be damned. Black man starts to, you know, do some funny stuff with the foreign policy. And he starts to, you know, bail out the automakers and surround himself with all kind of so-called Jews, upper echelon Jews, and do all kind of funny little moves that we started to pay attention to and say, damn, this ain't, I hope this ain't the change that the people supposed to believe in, you know. Then he got to bombing Africa, and, you know, and going after those like Commander Brother Muammar Gaddafi and all of them, you know. And then I mean, all kind of stuff just took place. And so I'm asking you, black man and black woman, how's it working out for you? Because at the end of the day, what I'm gonna tell you, as we begin to go to these phone lines and hear your thoughts on this and hear your thoughts on the black mayors and our political power and how to raise our political consciousness, I'm here to tell you, at the end of the day, when you get through playing games with the Democratic Party and you get through playing games with the Republican Party and you get through playing games with the Tea Party even, or hell, even get through playing games with the fizzled out Occupied Wall Street movement, all that stuff, the new Black Panther Party will be what's left. Mark that on your calendar. After you get through playing games, trying to figure your way around what Dr. Khalid Muhammad told you, and what the position of the new Black Panther Party is, and the positioning of our 10-point platform and the correctness of it, After you get through trying to figure out how that's not correct, it's going to come right back to your face that it is correct. I want you all to try to prove it wrong. Go to the 10-point program and prove that program wrong. I want you to study every word written on that program. Study every word written on the 9 local objectives. Study us in depth. Don't study some old sound clip of us, some old spliced up sound clip of one of our, some of our members, you know, somebody who was having a bad day and railed somewhere off camera. Study the program. Examine the platform of the new Black Panther Party. And then come back to me or come back to us and tell us what you found. I'm telling you what you're going to find is the correctness of a program that is designed for the liberation of Black people. It is an uncompromising program that you cannot get away from because it speaks to the very nature, the core nature and the core essence of a Black man and Black woman. It speaks to your heart. I don't care if you are poor, you know, ragged, naked, out of doors. I don't care if you have a billion-dollar mansion, as we've had both types on the radio broadcast. Doesn't matter. We speak directly to you because we are you. We're not isolated. We are you. We are the people. We are Black people. And we represent the needs and aspirations of a people who yearn to be free and who yearn to be free. Now, if that's not you, then as Doc say, step off, sissy. If you are, if you don't yearn to be breathe free, if you don't yearn to walk in the light of a brighter sun, if you don't yearn to control your own politics, if you don't yearn to control your own institutions, if you don't yearn to see your face on the currency, as we saw in the mother continent of Africa, if you don't yearn to own some stuff and stop being at the bottom of the social ladder, then go ahead and swim with the fishes and stay there at the bottom. But for those of you who understand what it means to fly and who understands what it means to really be illuminated, not this old fake stuff, but this Illuminati stuff. And I say like Tupac said, Caluminati, not that old fake stuff, but to really be enlightened like what the Black man they called the Buddha was, to have some real enlightenment and some real understanding and some real knowledge and some real wisdom. If you know what it's like and understand that we got to fly, and I'm talking to you. See, this ain't for everybody. I don't want you to think it's for everybody. All, you know, shoes don't fit. All socks don't fit. All gloves don't fit. Our dear brother Johnny Cochran, rest in power, you know, he would have been right. If it don't fit, you must acquit here. You got to want this here. You got to want to be liberated in mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. You got to want this here. You got to want it like Garvey wanted it. You got to want it like Huey Newton wanted it. You got to want it like Cleaver wanted it. You got to want it at a point when Cleaver wanted it. You got to want it like Fred Hampton wanted it. You have to want this thing. You got to want it, and you got to be willing to work for it, and you got to be willing to put your effort forth to make it happen. And so let's go to the phone lines here. And I, again, want to tell you, we want to support Chokwe Antar Lumumba. We want to support his family and whatever he do. We want to make sure that any of our strong ones out there who are political figures, that they have the full backing of the Black nation behind them. We want to make sure that any of you out there who have political experience, that you are exercising your politics in the best manner. And I want to tell you, politics is not about going up in the Senate. It ain't about being in Congress. It ain't none of that. Politics is land, bread, clothing, housing, justice, peace. Politics is it's who goes to jail, who don't go to jail. It's about who gets the first seat, who don't get the seat. Who? It's about the bus that comes to your neighborhood. It's about that garbage truck that comes and picks up that garbage. It's about the filth in the Black community. It's about the drugs and chemical warfare that's targeted at our people. That's politics. And any politician who cannot speak to that, you ain't no politician. You ain't no true politician. Well, I say you're not a revolutionary politician. We're after revolutionary politicians here, like the Honorable Chokwe Lumumba. And we're after revolutionary activists like you. So let me take to the phones here. And I want to tell you all, if you're listening to me, you know, on the internet live stream or wherever you're at, if you're on your phones, you know, you got to press number one. Call 646-478-4447. We're going to talk live with this topic. It's East Coast time, 9:15 now. So I gotta get into it because I want to get you all involved with it. And it's a serious discussion. We're going to also cover some more topics. A lot of topics happening, man. I mean Boko Haram. I mean, I know y'all want to talk about that. We have to talk about Boko Haram. You know, this group that allegedly stole, kidnapped, abducted 200 plus you know, Nigerian sisters. And now allegedly was going to sell them off to be wives, and then was going to, you know, sell them off to some other people, and now allegedly made them all convert to Islam. And I mean, just a whole bunch of just stuff in the media that they're condemning over there. I want to tell you that the Nigerian authorities over there are condemning that and saying that it's BS. They're saying it's a sham. I want to tell you on Black Power Radio. They're saying that it didn't even happen like that. And it's some other talk involving Bill Gates. Y'all know that billionaire, whatever he is, Bill Gates, and them, and, you know, some talk of some land grabs and some all kind of stuff that's happening. We got to talk about Boko Haram. Want to keep in our thoughts and prayers members of the Black Riders Liberation Party, Sister Mecca and Etana Shakur, who are going up, you know, in the courts right now, going on trial, or I think the jury is out right now for them, as they, you know, are fighting against the pigs. Now they upheld for George Zimmerman, they stood their ground against the pigs, and the courts is trying to press charges against them. And they were assaulted by the pig. And so we appreciate them and keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And if you're anywhere in that Inglewood area, make sure that you support them and come to their defense. You know, any new Black Panthers that are in that area, West Coast, West Side, you make sure that you support them. That's our family and our Panther comrades there. And of course, we talked about the death anniversary of Brother Malcolm Shabazz. Don't forget him, and keep his name alive. Keep his name alive and keep him in your thoughts. Keep his memory alive. Keep his energy alive. You know, we got to talk about an article I put up on my Facebook about the way that the Africans are being treated in Yemen. The way that Black people are being treated by the Arabs in different parts of the East is despicable over there. Got to talk about that. We're going to talk about these white parents that are adopting Ethiopian children or adopting African children and abusing African children and letting them starve. I put that on my page. If you all follow my page, let them stall. I mean, it's crazy as hell. I talked about the Black bookstores. You got police officers riding around drunk in America. I mean, what else is going on? I mean, it's just so much happening, brothers and sisters. If you haven't been keeping up with it, and I encourage us. I know some of us don't like to look at the news or read newspapers, but you know, you got to be like Minister Malcolm X for us. You got to be on the pulse of what's happening, on the pulse of the people. You know, so that's happened. You got young brothers out there that's still being brutalized by the pig department. A brother named Jeremy Gordon. If you haven't seen that, Brother Jeremy Gordon, I believe he was in he's a senior finance manager at Howard University in D.C. Beat down by the pigs out there. Got to talk about him. You know, like I said, Nigeria says that Boko Haram is a scam, that is not real. You got Tyrese out there blasting reality shows, talking about its negative impact on Black women and Black marriages. Dr. Dre just sold Beats by Dre for some billions, and I mean, you know, Beyonce, who her little sister just got into some funk with Jay-Z. She got her own religion, and you got the the sister who was 93 years old, who was shot there. I think it was Texas, I believe it was. Correct me if I'm wrong, you all out there, you know, in the listening audience when you call in. 93 years old, shot down, the pig was fired, and that's the first step, but that's not it. That can't be all. And so on and on and on, we're going to have to talk. So let me go to the phone lines here and get your calls in here. Number to call, 646-478-4447. First call is area code 702-256. Your area code is 702. The first three digits is 256. You're on live with Black Power Radio. You're talking to Sean Saddam Kweli. We're talking about black politics. What will it take to revive the black nation? Talk to us. Welcome, Black Power.
Peace, peace, Black Power family.
Peace, peace, Black Power. How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Appreciate you doing this show, Black man. Appreciate the God, the Queen, the Kings out there for tuning in. Definitely needed this day and time. Touching on some serious topics. So, you know, my question is, you know, what can a black man, young black man, young black woman do right here, right now, this day, immediately to change our situation? What's the remedy?
Depends on what you're talking about. What area?
Well, just everyday life, you know, like some of the small things we could do.
Man, it
self-love,
I mean,
loving each other again, greeting each other with good mornings, telling, you know, each other we love each other, support our businesses, you know, we should be eating, educate our youth the right way, discipline our children, you know, just the simple things, I would say. I just want you to go
probably,
in on the black family slightly.
Yeah, we got to do all of that. I mean, all of that, and then some. I mean, I'm a key believer, brother, that the revolution starts within. I mean, I know a lot of us focus on, you know, global white supremacy, you know, the big power, as it was called in the '60s. But you cannot have an external revolution without having an internal revolution. You know what I mean? And so The first thing we got to do, my brother, is be brothers to each other. That's the number one thing we got to do. We got to be a brother to ourselves. We got to be good to self, because a lot of us mistreat ourselves, and that's important to talk about. You got to be good to yourself, and then you got to be good to others. And, I mean, I'm going to tell you something about myself. I'm good to anybody who's good to me. I mean, I respect all, as Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught. I respect all as they respect me. But if you aggress me in any kind of way, you know, try to hurt me any kind of way or offend me, then I'll step to you. But we got to be good to ourselves and good to others, and that's the first step, brother. Is to rebuild self love, the love of self, as I talked about earlier, the knowledge of self, and then the love of self is what is really missing in the community. If we would just go back to loving ourselves and falling in love with ourselves again, man, that would solve so many issues. Because, I mean, look at like Vybz Kartel. I don't know if you're familiar with him. And you look at like Little Kim. You look at what Michael Jackson did to himself. I mean, you just look at so many people who are placed before our people. And you can just see the self-hatred that's in their minds and in their hearts, brother. And that's just because they hated themselves before they got money. And so then when they got money, they were able to try to chisel away the stuff that they hated. So, you know, that's what I would say, black man, is to fall back in love with self. Look at the great qualities of self. Know your history. Look at the greatness of your own history and your people's history. And then it could extend anywhere else you wanted to.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Shout out, you know, the Honorable Black Dr. Khalid Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Louis Shabazz.
Yes, sir.
Here, of course. Year anniversary, Dr. Amos Wilson, Patrice Lumumba, Marcus Garvey, all the greats. Dr. Umar Bella Johnson of today, Polite, yourself, Brother Perry. Shout out Brother Perry out there, New York. He the one put me on. So, you know, Black Love, Ashe.
Black Love, Ashe, Hotep. God, we appreciate you for calling in and appreciate your spirit, brother.
Peace, gang.
Peace. And I mean, that's real. Shout out. I want to say that too. Shout out to Dr. Umar Abdullah Johnson, Brother Polite, Brother Sara Sutton, Seti, Sarnetta, whoever, all of you all out there in whatever way, Red Pill, all you all out there who is putting the information out there, however you do it. You know, Dr. Ali Muhammad, you know, No matter, you know, whether you all disagree on different points or whatever the case is, at least you are talking a conscious talk, and that is important. All I'm going to tell you is y'all got to, slide some beast up in that debate. Now, as a student of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who was a chief debater, I'm going to tell you all, y'all are not debating enough white people. You all are debating each other, which is all right. I mean, I seen that in Africa all the time. They was debating each other all over the place and challenging each other's positions and everything. But y'all gonna have to debate some top notch college professors and some theologians. You gotta crush you some crackers, as we used to say. All right, and so don't forget that. But shouts out to all of you out there who's doing it, however you doing it, and respect to you from the New Black Panther Party. Next caller here, your area code is 214-672. 214-672, you're online, Black Power Radio, talking to your host, Sean Saddam Kweli. We're talking about raising the black community. How do we raise the consciousness? How do we establish our own black power? Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. God damn it, it's both Black Power. Black Power yesterday, Black Power today, and Black Power tomorrow. Peace, greetings, salutations to the ancestors and the forefathers, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, my mentor, Brother Hakeem Abdul Muhammad. I'm the Supreme Captain, Deputy National Minister of Defense of the New Black Panther Party. Also, I'm called Sheikh Hakeem Abdullah Muhammad from Ghana, West Africa, right next door to Nigeria, where I went to Lagos University. I have a master's in theology and philosophy. This is the last stop of student worship about this. Muslims supposed to have the right to school and take some innocent little girl. No. Wrong. Sorry. After studying the teachings of Rasul, the Prophet Muhammad, over 1,400 years ago, there's nowhere wrote that a Muslim man have the right to go and take an innocent child. No. You can't justify that. I said that. Me and that same opponent, and I'm about to talk to Khalid Abdul Muhammad, God makes you brother with some true Islam. It's some things you do and you just don't do. And the teaching of the Most High Elijah Muhammad made us like this. Accept the truth, be about the truth, and the truth is the light, and it sets you free. No, it never was just about for nobody to take nobody to be a little kid. They had a right to get it between $12. I think it's a scam or a sham. So maybe we need to probe this thing deeper and look into it. But sure, bang everybody greeting from our national chairman, Hashim and Ziggum. We rolling with little Boosie Badass. We all over the United States. Back and forward, so everybody over the court, because we're going to be coming to your cities very soon, looking for everybody to get through to the booty. Brother Sean, I'm great to see you out there doing your thing. Black power to your queen, St. Louis chapter. Y'all got it off the easy, my needy. But anyway, say I love everybody. It's indeed a blessing, as well as a period, to be your supreme captain to make things happen around here. Everybody stay black and strong, stay black and proud. Brother Sean, Stump, Kweli, I appreciate what you're doing. Me a lot to hear the water. I'll continue to bless you. Hold on, let me give y'all something just to let you know that I ain't perpetrating no fraud. I shall do it la ilaha illallah, I shall do it the Muhammad the Rasulullah. I do who I shall eat the la after who the Rasulullah. I live in Ghana, West Africa, and serve as a king, and don't nobody justify what's being done by no Muslim man. Nuh-uh. There's non-negotiable. Some things you do and you just don't do. And I said that, I meant that, I stand before that as a Muslim, I'll be about this. Brother Sean, it's good to hear from you. Take it and run with it. Black power, sir.
All right, brother, Black Power. Thank you so much. And brother, what I was saying in the beginning, that what's being said now is that this whole Boko Haram thing is a scam operation. I mean, I know that I know we've seen it all over the internet and stuff, and y'all saw the sign of Michelle Obama, First Lady of the U.S. Bring our girls back, and now all the celebrities is jumping on this bandwagon thing. Bring the girls back, and I mean it's the thing. It's the comfortable cause of the moment. You know what I mean? But what I'm trying to tell you all is that from the ground, a lot of the authorities over there and sources over there are saying that whole thing is a scam. What I have read and what I'm receiving is that this group and what they're called, their full name is the Congregation of the People of Tradition for Proselytism and Jihad, aka Boko Haram. Okay, and so now from what I understand, they are like a renegade group. that had, you know, pretty much been operating however they wanted to operate since probably around 2009. I want you all to hear me good on that. 2009, they had been going into Nigeria and other areas pretty much, you know, doing what they wanted, you know, pillaging, whatever they, you know, just as we say in the hood, wilding out, right? And so, you know, this thing had been going on since 2009, maybe before that, and all this was known, and there was no intervention whatsoever from the West, from U.S. forces, from the U.K., none of that. It wasn't even a little bold peep, none of that, no black sheep, no none of that. It wasn't nothing. And so now that you got this Bill Gates thing involved with it, and I want you all to Google that. You know, some of you may have heard it here first, you know, but I want you all to really look into that, because some of you are, you know, are better researchers than me, right? So from what I have been reading on, it has been reported. And I'm just, you know, of course, going to say allegedly, because I don't know, I'm not there, I'm not in the inner circle or none of that type of thing, but from just what has been reported, a group called the Global Pro-Life Alliance, or the GPA Council, has identified Bill Gates as a major foreign sponsor of the Boko Haram insurgency. And I wanted to say that again. It's a group called the Global Pro-Life Alliance Council, GPA. They've identified this billionaire, you all know him, named Bill Gates, as a major foreign sponsor of that Boko Haram. And what they disclosed was that Gates, Bill Gates, and that group that deals with GMOs, genetically modified organisms, Monsanto, that they were sponsoring this move in the region and using their biotechnology companies. And according to this source, these journalists and whatnot, they say that the major aim was to capture the food security of Nigeria and control Africa's largest nation by population and economy, adding that this could only be possible, if possible, by fighting to displace the indigenous farmers, the Nigerian farmers in the country, and replace them with genetically modified organisms, corporate farms in the Northeast Food Basket region of Nigeria. Now, I hope you all heard me good, because that's not going to come from your, that's not going to come off of no Fox News or none of that. You know, that's not no MSNBC, none of that. But I'm telling you here, first, Black Power Radio, that Bill Gates has some involvement with this Boko Haram thing that's happening here, and it's going to have to be thoroughly investigated. See, these are the kind of times you wish men like Steve Coakley was still around to really, really dog they trail, you know what I'm saying, and name the names. But the chief investigators and those who are within our National Ministry of Information, you're going to have to get busy in investigating this, exposing this to the people. You're going to have to get busy to investigate this and expose this to the people, because it doesn't have anything to do necessarily with you know, a couple 200-plus Nigerian girls that have been kidnapped. We hope that they haven't been kidnapped at all and that they're safe and sound. But if they have, we want to say that it's more to the story. It's more to the story than some Nigerian girls being kidnapped and then, you know, they're ransoming them off to be married or converting them to Islam. It's way more than that. That is just the convenient narrative so they can attack another Muslim country and try to take the land and all that type of thing. But look, the narrative is Bill Gates is allegedly behind Boko Haram. He's sponsoring it to be able to help Monsanto and his biotechnological companies take the land for GMO use. And that's the real deal. the food basket there in Nigeria. And they got to make what they did in the past to us. They did it to the Indians. They did it to the Chinese. They did it to the Chicanos. They make you fight each other while they go and take the damn land. That is the MO of the cracker, straight up. And so Bill Gates is a cracker. Ain't no different. And so y'all stay tuned and pay attention, because you got to keep your eyes open in 2014 or you'll go to sleep. Then you'll be really thinking that that they really took some girls, and it's all about these girls, and the U.S. going to come in, and the U.K. going to come in and save these girls, and hooray, hurrah, and it's all good. You better wake the hell up and wake up real fast. Let me take another call here. Area code is 314-369. 314-369. You're here live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the state of our people, the condition of the black community, what it's going to take to wake us up. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, you got Brother Perry, St. Louis chapter.
Black Power, Black Power, Brother Perry.
Black Power, I'm up here in Harlem now, building with Sister Chrissy. Got a hell of a mission, and we definitely on top of it. But what it's going to take to build this black nation and to help our people is black economics, pretty much. It's black business, Wall Street, black Wall Street in every city. You know, that's pretty much what it's going to take. As well as it was deep that you actually hit on what I was going to go into, was that the food and the health, when you were speaking about Bill Gates and the whole Monsanto's GMS thing, and that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us to get off this fried chicken, you know what I'm saying, and this McDevils and all of this, you know, clogging up our brains and killing us. You know, that's a whole nother industry empire that they using against us. So we got to get healthy and get our minds clear and start meditating in amongst a bunch of other things. But it's really start with the economics. That's the foundation and the base to get to other things.
That's real talk, man. I was looking at something the other day. I think you may have seen it with McDonald's. It came out on McDonald's. That they were using pink slime. This is McDonald's I'm talking about. I remember some of you all may have heard about that. McDonald's was using this this pink slime ingredient for their hamburgers. And then I saw something the other day. I have to find it. Where they were saying something about they were using some kind of worm or something. Some kind of, did you see that, Brother Perry? Some kind of worm substance or something?
No, I haven't heard anything about that one.
I'm going to find that. But did you hear the one about the pink slime?
I haven't. I haven't been hearing anything about McDonald's. I don't know. I don't really study that too much. Has it been on CNN? Or?
This was on, what I see that at? Business Insider, I believe it was. One of them business websites and magazines. But it's all over the web. It's all over the web where they're talking about the reason why the French fries don't rot, and what's going on with this, you know what I mean? What's going on with the hamburgers and the chickens and all that?
That's crazy. Our people, they're going and buying them 20 nuggets for $5 so quick. That's ridiculous.
Think about it. Think about that $5 that's spent for that burger or whatever it is that is, you know, packed with preservatives and chemicals. So for five bucks, you know, we're basically financing our own death. You know what I mean? And that's the importance of a man like Dr. Lila Africa and a man like Dr. Sabi and, you know, Sister Queen of Fool. You know what I mean? And those practitioners who are trying to guide us back to better health. So you're hitting on some real serious points there.
Black Power. And it's really that economics. We need black business.
Ain't no doubt about it. I encourage everybody, if you have not read this man's book, I think it's called Powernomics by Dr. Claude Anderson.
Got it.
If you have not read that book, or as a matter of fact, if you haven't seen the lectures the lectures of Dr. Claude Anderson. I'm talking about after our broadcast is over, I encourage you to go right to RBG Tube or wherever you get your viewing pleasures from and put in Dr. Claude Anderson. We're going to have to get him on the show, and I'm going to let you all know when we do it. He is one of the premier minds in terms of economics and economic sovereignty. I really would call it economic liberation. He is one of the premier minds, and I would say has one of the best forthright plans in terms of how to sustain economics and what it really means within our community. I haven't heard too many in our community go as deep as Dr. Claude Anderson does from the economic perspective, man. So, you know, I'm an economic fan, of course, black economic fan. But I'm 100% behind some Dr. Claude Anderson. And if there's some others out there I need to know about, y'all tell me.
Yeah, Claude Anderson, that's pretty much the best route to go as far as dealing with, you know, somebody that's black and everything. That's pretty much the route to go, Claude Anderson. We had a great economic segment at our national summit. And there were some opportunities presented to us that was pretty good with the whole, with the detergent and a couple of
That's right.
Actually.
That's right. That's right. That's right. We had brother on our show. at his own business. I mean, like I'm saying, the new Black Panther Party is very committed to black economics, and I have to say it's an uphill process for black people because we've been taught wrong with our money. You know what I mean? Like many of us have come up with nothing. And so as soon as we get some money, we spend our money. We don't normally save it. Some of you out there are very good savers. But on an average, most of our people are poor savers because many of us came up with nothing. You know, bills are due. And so as soon as we get some money, you know, we spend that bad boy. And so what we're going to have to do is learn how to break that habit if we're doing that and start putting that money to the side and then learn how to make the proper investments. And that's why it's important. You know, we got men like Dr. Michael B. Roberts, who's, you know, billionaire CEO, who we heard from at the summit. You know, it's important that when you're listening to men like this and women like that who understand the use of currency, you know, soon, you know, to have Dr. Farah Gray on, son of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, you know, millionaire, or as he called it, millionaire. I mean, you know, these types of men and women who understand investment and understand return, understand saving. I mean, we have to draw from their well and got to draw from their wisdom. So I encourage everybody in the new Black Panther Party, everybody outside of the party, if you just black in general, save you some money, and especially for 2015, just going into the future. We don't know what's coming down the pike, but that being said, you know, we're going to take a trip. We're going back to the motherland in 2015 by the grace of the Creator. We're going back to Zania, South Africa. Hopefully be right there in Zimbabwe again, President Robert Mugabe, and who knows what else we're going to do this time around since we got more time to plan. We want you all to go with us, those that can. And I'm going to be leading a delegation along with our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. We're going to lead a delegation out of the United States into Zania, South Africa. And if you have not made your pilgrimage, I know some of you are Muslims, and you make your pilgrimage to Mecca. You know, you try to make your pilgrimage to Mecca if that's possible, and that's great. But every black man and black woman, whether you Muslim or not, you know, whatever you are, you got to make your pilgrimage to the mother continent of Africa. I mean, and you say, well, where, brother, in Africa? Any damn way in Africa, really, to me. But, I mean, in specific, if you can get into South Africa and get into a Zani, you know, you get into a, what they call Joburg or Johannesburg. You get, you know, I was all down into the Eastern Cape, what they call London, East London, over there where Steve Biko was and all that good stuff. You get you some Africa in you, and it will literally transform your life. And I'm talking about, you know how the Christians talk about being baptized, and you know, and the Kemetic teachers talk about being renewed and all that, and I mean, it does that to you. It will literally change you if you get back to the soil. You know, I got African soil with me right now, you know, that I have. You know, it literally will change you and transfigure you. And by the time that you make it black to the hells and smells of North America, you look at America from a totally different perspective, a whole different concept. And I mean, and you see, like what the elders were saying back in the day, that America is a prison. You know, it's a police state. You see it. But it also will reignite your fire and help you to push past the prison planet or the day-to-day drag of being in America, black man and black woman in America. Brother Perry, brother, I thank you for your call, black man. I got to move on to the next caller here.
Black power.
All right, black power. Next call, your area code is 480-432. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're under a myriad of discussions. We want to get your thoughts and comments on the black political situation. How has the presidency of Barack Obama been for you? Are you pleased? Are you not pleased? What's your thoughts?
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. I just have one short question.
Go right ahead.
I noticed you call the Hispanics, the Mexicans, you call them the Brown Brothers, but I don't think that all the Africans in Mexico are Brown Brothers. I think some of them are descended from black people.
You think they're what, sir?
I think some of the Mexicans descend from black people.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You got no argument for me on that, brother. They have statues, Olmec heads and pyramids, just like what we got in Kemet. You know what I mean? So, no argument.
My friend went to Mexico and he said he saw mostly Indians and blacks, with different colors. Light skin Indians, pale Indians, dark Indians, Indians of different colors, and black people of different colors.
Ain't no doubt about it. We're in every part of the planet Earth, brother. The black man and black woman, we're all over the place. Don't you worry about Mexico. Mexico got plenty of black people there that recognize. You got some who have been colonized by the Spaniard, and they identify solely with the white man or the white Spaniard. But those who identify with Africa. And they understand that they are truly African and that they had just been colonized by the Spanish. So we appreciate your call. I got to take another call here. Area code is 314-695. You're on live with Black Power Radio. How has it been for you? How is the change that you can believe in? What's going on with the politics of Black America? What's going on? Welcome, Black Power.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
I am. Hi. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I was listening in, and I was so in rapt attention with your last conversation. I spaced out for a second. I apologize. This is Sister Deja from the St. Louis chapter.
Hey, Black Power. Black Power. What's happening?
Black Power. Black Power. I've been so excited to really say something because that's all up and down my timeline and my feed, and they're trying to distract us with this Solange and Jay-Z fight when there's so much other stuff going on that's much more relevant. It's crazy.
No doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. I didn't really get to catch a lot of what happened with Jay-Z and Solange and whatever was going on. But rest assured, at the end of the day, Jay-Z gonna still be a millionaire, so Lon's still gonna be well to do. So I mean, so we move forward, you know.
That's agreed. But I had been following your post on Facebook as well when you were mentioning that this group of people, these GPA renegade group, that they've been doing this for a while and then they just now blew it up. That was news to me.
Yeah, Yeah, Boko Haram. That's a group that's being, I guess, backed by some U.S. interests somewhere. You know, a lot of times, the U.S. Hide its hand in the interest, but I guess they're being propped up by somebody over there, and they feel like they got license to mistreat Nigerians, and so now all of a sudden it's time for the U.S. to come in and play hero with the U.K. You know.
Right, but I got a question though. Do you think? I mean, since they control the media, why would they just now be leaking the story or trying to blow it up now? What do you think is going to happen now that they've done that?
Well, it's time for it now. Like I was saying a few seconds ago, you got Bill Gates running around over there now trying to finance them to take the land. You know, they want to take what they call the food basket or the fertile and mentally rich areas over there in Nigeria, and they want to transform the crops of the Nigerian farmers into GMO crops, genetically modified crops. And so if they can prop up this Boko Haram situation and then move in military intervention, what they do is they become an occupying force, and it allows Bill Gates and his companies to come in and take the land. That's what's happening now, so that's why that's going on.
Oh, my goodness. That's deep.
That's what's happening. So we gotta ring the alarm. You know, we gotta, as our general order saying, in case of disorder, give the alarm. We gotta sound the alarm, and let people know what's up.
So it sounds like we need to go into business on creating those those indoor grow houses for vegetation, for fruits and vegetables. We'd have to get on that ASAP.
Yeah. We gotta do all of that. I was just talking to a brother earlier. I'll leave him unnamed for right now, but we were talking about making our investments into the mother continent and other areas so that we can grow our own stuff. I mean, people are out here are serious, deadly serious about having our own. And so, I mean, you're right on target. What I would say is, if we can do it on a local level somewhere, let's do it on a local level. Community gardens are good, you know what I mean? And organic gardens are good, too. So if we can start there for the community, wherever we are, let's start that. You know, New Black Panther members, chapters, wherever we at, let's start that immediately if we can and get busy. But I agree with you. We should do that right away.
Okay, but should we be concerned about chemtrails?
You gotta be concerned about chemtrails, but it can't override your ability to work, because really the earth can cleanse itself. And again, if our dietary is correct and good enough, our bodies will cleanse themselves as well.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. It does. It's all types of different types of detoxes out there right now. So.
We got so many chemtrails in us. Believe me, if that was gonna take us out, it would take us all the way out. Like I said, Prophet Muhammad said, "We're babies, kids. We don't die, we multiply."
All right, I agree with that.
All right, sis, appreciate you. I gotta take the next call here.
Thank you.
All right, Black Powell.
Black Powell.
All right, caller here. You call it. Eric Card is 202-706-202-706. You're live. This is Black Power Radio. How has the presidency of Barack Obama been for you? What's going on with the black politics? How can our people wake up? Talk to us. Welcome in Black Power.
Black Power and some strong black politics for the black citizens of the world, and pushing Azania and pushing the right program for education. All of the themes from our national chief of staff, our national leader, Sean Qualley, our radio host. We should give more accolades to a host that takes from his everyday living. And he gives so much to people, the citizens of St. Louis, the citizens of Washington, and Norfolk, wherever this national chief of staff, wherever he lands, he gives so much of himself. And, you know, I mean, I can feel this brother giving, and I just had to say that before making my comments tonight. That this man, he puts his family, puts everybody on the front line, all of his best soldiers in both St. Louis and Louisville, Kentucky, and he has the same spirit of commitment like you found in Muhammad Ali, that you found in Malcolm. Your name ain't got to be no Muhammad Ali or Malcolm to get out here and do some work like Muhammad Ali and Malcolm. So let us look in reality today, that who are the true foot soldiers on the ground for knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Who's a foot soldier for education? And we push forward our program because we feel that in the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, that we have the right spirit and the right work and the right time to go at home and abroad. Look deep, brother and sister. Don't just play with it. Look deep and you'll see the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Attorney General, the Honorable Doctor and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, our Honorable Chairman, the Honorable Hashim Nzinga. Those kind of leaderships is not no leadership that you can say, well, they are not black enough or they're not strong enough or they're not educated enough. But they are astute enough and they're well-traveled and well-seasoned. And a Minister of Justice is myself, Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem Bilal. Somebody stay on the front line and know how to check the opposition. We're not guessing at what we're doing, brother and sister. We put some blog and Black Power Radio right there for the black citizen to get himself up, to get himself educated on this airway. We're not putting any jokes together today. This is where the rubber meets the road, brother and sister. And the wake-up juice is in every soldier you see on the front line. You turn it over to, you know, I turn it over to Deshaun Kwali or any one of those chairmen or any one of our chiefs, any one of our sisters can pick the whole program and move it forward without any big brother and sister. That's the confidence we have on the front line. You talking New Black Panther Party for self-defense? Well, I'm talking education, politics, and science. And we use the best of our scientists. We look at our Dr. Leonard Jeffries and Dr. James Smalls and all those past soldiers, Dr. Ivan Vensekema, Dr. Chancellor Williams, and Dr. Yosef Ben-Yakhanan, and all the books that came with those soldiers. We need to know those soldiers and books and whatnot, but like you know your name of your ancestors and your aunts and uncles, you see? And then when you use it for your upward mobility, someone said, then that's when you have black nationalism, when you're in control of the politics, the science, the business, and politics of your own community. That
that's
is
right.
Black nationalism. And you connect up with your brothers and sisters abroad. That is black nationalism. When you understand what your leaders are saying, and our dean, the dean of ministers, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, know what he is saying and what he's about. And that is when you have black nationalism. When you can understand what Sharpton and T.D. Jakes and Jesse Jackson and all them black leaders, they want better conditions for black people. When you understand comprehensively, that's when you have black nationalism. When you move in the spirit of your local black minister and your black church and your black educator and your black school, then that's when you have true black education. Wake up juice from the tapes of the Honorable Barbara Jordan and when you look at Shirley Chisholm and those people who sacrificed something and gave their blood, sweat, and tears in their lives so that you would be able to stand your nappy head in the line and get a vote. And you were able to stand like Nelson Mandela had 5 miles of black people in Africa, and they all held the black fist up for 5 miles, 5 hours, almost 24 hours. It never took the black fist down. That's when you have black nationalism, when you're thinking in the right way, when you're walking black nationalism. When you know that revolution is the only solution, that's when you have black nationalism. When you got wake-up juice in every cup of Kool-Aid that you pour, that's when you're getting black nationalism. When you get the fries out of the oatmeal and get your own factory and produce your own, that's when you have black nationalism. When you intend to get on wake-up juice and you get wake-up juice out the Kool-Aid, that's black nationalism. So wake up, brother and sister. Don't take lightly this Blog Talk Radio. Don't take lightly a soldier, a frontline soldier like Sean Kwali that's trying to take you to Africa with him. So you can say, like, you can get a renewed spirit and get rejuvenation in your spirit. And let's all go to work on black nationalism because we believe that black revolution is the only solution. The spirit of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad is the answer to the black people with black love and black unity, and black power.
All right, real. Black power.
That's black power.
Land.
Free the land, free the land. Wow, Alex Lance, love God. Keep it strong and black.
Yes, sir. That is our National Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Kareem Bilal. He is fired up. We are fired up, and we feel the spirit. I want to say while the broadcast is still streaming live, we'll be back on at 10:30 with Dr. Marvin Delaney. and your call back in. For those of you who are still on the phone lines right now, I'm going to take the rest of your calls and finish this out. But Dr. Marvin Delaney will be on. He's associate professor right out of Houston University. He's the man who first taught National Chairman Minister Hashim Nzinga about being pro-black. He started in think tanks up there in Dallas, Texas. I was telling you about earlier with National Chairman. And the man is a walking history book, and he's going to be on. He's challenging the word nigger. He's challenging the word nigger, N-I-G-G-A, in correlation with the N-I-G-G-E-R. You'll want to be involved with that discussion and much more. So we'll come back to you at 10:30. I'll finish out these calls right now. Eric code 770-905, 770-905. You're here live, Black Power Radio. Welcome to the broadcast. We're talking about the presidency of Barack Obama, black politics, Boko Haram, and so much more. Welcome, Black Power. What are your thoughts, questions?
How you doing, my brother? This is Brother Ontario from Atlanta.
Hey, Brother Ontario. Welcome, brother. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, man? Always a strong Black Power, and always good to talk to you, Brother Sean.
Good to talk to you, sir.
My take on the whole Boko Haram, I mean, I got a long list of stuff to say about this. But first, you know, start off with my take on Boko Haram. Okay, we know the media's interpretation of these guys, but one thing I always ask myself, and let me know if I'm wrong, Brother Sean, how do we exactly know Boko Haram is who they say these guys are? Now, I know they say it's been a 5-year stint, and these guys are like the sister was saying before. How come it's just now hitting mainstream? How come, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, they kind of make enemies with these guys? And as far as, like, Barack Obama's, you know, presidency, man, this is a sheer joke. I mean, we think because we have taken it and put a black face on it, something has been solved. But little do we know, they don't care about the black community. And this is why, you know, I get so upset and I challenge them so, you know, because we, as, you know, black people, we have to understand the severity of politics, the amount of lies that go into this thing, the amount of deceit. And just because they put black face on it, they think all of a sudden we're free and all of a sudden we got rights now. And where I challenge my people on my show, I tell them, I say, hey, let's find out the source before we just kick it back off something and say, oh, because he's black and because he's supposed to be in a situation of power that, you know, he stands for the people. And I just think that thing, you know, it has more to it, Brother Sean. I just think, all of a sudden, it could be, like you say, with the genetically modified. You know, this has to have something of gain for them to, and we all know how the media takes things and twists it and interprets it. Now, am I saying what's right, what they're doing to those young girls? No, I'm not saying that at all. But my thing of it is, you got to learn how to worry about your own backyard. You know, we have just as much sex trafficking and all these things going on over here. A sister that was in the Army a while back, Lavina Johnson, this is a story I'm on and I'm kind of active on, where she was just brutally raped and, you know, just hurt in the Army. She was raped and murdered. And, you know, they covered it up and said, you know, this young lady committed suicide. When clearly she couldn't have committed suicide when, you know, her genitals was burned, you know, her gloves was glued on her hand. You know, she had, you know, a gunshot wound to the head, you know, from an opposite angle that she couldn't have committed herself. And my thing, you know, where I say, you know, this is a joke of the black presidency and a joke of the presidency and all together, we really don't understand, you know, the things of, you know, like the sister Deja was saying, chemtrails, the thing of the drones, all these things that they're putting out. And like she was saying, they take the Salah story and that garbage and kind of turn everybody's mind off of the bigger thing. And one of the things I say, you know, as I dig deeper into this Boko Haram story, I just feel like there's so much missing, you know, because they have the celebrities that jump on it and bring our girls home. But I just think it's so much valuable information that they're not filling us in on. They're just wanting us to jump on it and hear a story and get behind them so they can go infiltrate or do whatever they want to do and call it war and say we're supposed to be satisfied with that and they're protecting us. I don't believe it, Brother Sean.
Well, that's how it goes. I mean, you gotta remember the whole Coney story in 2012. I mean, it's the same scenario. You get this supposed African warlord who, you know, who's crazy, running shot over everybody else, and you know he's doing whatever he wants to do, and then the U.S. has to come in and intervene. But what I'm trying to explain to people is that it's a land grab, where there's always a political objective. You know, the white man and the power structure, they never do anything without politics being involved. You know, politics that benefit them is what I mean. So when you look further into it, and there's no doubt in my mind. I'm not even going to say possibility. I mean, we say allegedly because I'm not in the boardrooms. I'm not there. But, I mean, in my mind, there is no doubt in my mind that it's a land grab, that it's about these GMO foods, that it's about the minerally fertile, rich soil of Nigeria and all of that. Yeah. So, I mean, so – You know this whole brick, give our girls back and all that. They could have been doing that for the girls in America. You know what I mean? It's so many
absolutely
black children. You know what I mean? We just did a story on the young brother whose organs were snatched out of his body. You know, and stuff with newspapers and you know, out in, I think it was Valdosta, Georgia, and you know what I mean? It's just so much stuff that people jump on. And if celebrities want to jump on a cause, we got causes for them to jump on, but they're not going to touch it with their scary behinds, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you touched on that, Brother Sean. I'm glad that, you know, I have the airwaves to ask for support, because I myself, this is what I'm working on, Brother Sean. I myself, because I do have journalism, I can do, you know, quite a few things. I myself have taken it upon myself and responsibility to pick up for this young man in Valdosta, Georgia. I have a petition that I'm signing on, that I'm starting on my page. I have quite a few signatures. I even took to the streets last week, Brother Sean, to get these signatures up, because what's going on up there in Valdosta, Georgia, Lowndes County, Georgia, is a shame, Brother Sean. And see, they have so many stories that are being swept under the rug. This is no hearsay, this is nothing. I actually took the time to call myself just to see, check the you know, the area and see how it would be, check the vibe. I called Brother Sean. They act like they didn't even know who this young man was. I talked to the sheriff's county, and whenever you mention their name, whenever you mention this young man, Kendrick Johnson's name, it's an instant, like, terror that I said, I was poking around and asking some questions, and they said, well, you know, whoever this guy was behind the desk, some old slimy pig, some old slimy cop, whoever this guy was behind the desk, when that, as soon as I mentioned that young man's name, Brother Sean, it was like automatically a switch of terror that came on. He said, he becomes dismissive. He says, I'll get back to you. I have to go to the store. And needless to say, I never got that return call. Okay, then I call another new chapter, because I have really been trying to reach out to this young man's parents just to let them know that they have some support. Not all of us are sheep. I'm standing in your corner. I'm trying to petition Chris Prine. That's the sheriff's name. Stride Jones and Chris Prine, two of the most disgusting, supposed to be law enforcers. They didn't even know this young man's name. They were like, I said, Kendrick Johnson, are you familiar? They said, who? I said, it's Kendrick Johnson. He was a high school student. Who? I said, the young man that was found beaten and rolled up in the mat. Oh, him. It's tragedies like this, Brother Sean, that make me upset. And I'm glad that we have brothers like you, brothers like Brother Hashim, guys who aren't sheep, who stand up for your community and say, enough of this has to stop. But then you want to talk about girls in another country? My heart goes out to those girls, Brother Sean. But what about the kids in our country? What about the girls in our country? What about the girls in our city?
Teach. That's real talk.
This has to stop.
Well, we the only ones gonna stop it, brother. You know, I mean, I hate to, I'm happy to tell you, we the only ones that's gonna stop it. If we don't organize and get other people to organize on it, There's no outside force that's gonna help it, and ain't no hand gonna come from the sky and do it. So we might as well get busy and put our best boots on.
Absolutely, and you know I'm front line with you guys, brother.
Yes, sir. I know, brother, and we glad to have you, black man, for real. Hey, keep us posted on whatever you come up with. We're gonna need you to write some articles for the paper, man, and get involved. And that's for everybody. We're putting this paper back out here. I gotta get this new Black Panther out here for the people's consumption. We got to do it regular. So all of you that can write or that are writers, you know, if you can write 800 to 1,000 words, type it. Like if you can type 800 to 1,000 words, which really that ain't nothing, and you can talk about these black issues like what we're talking about on this broadcast, we want to put that into a newspaper and get this newspaper out to the people to be able to be informed at a quicker pace and to be able to be revolutionized very easily. So I'm going to need your help with that, brother, and, you know, get some other people that can help us with it.
Absolutely. You know, I'm on board. Just say the word, my brother.
All right. So I'm going to reach out to you. Look for my inbox probably within the next day or so, or call from me, and I got you.
Okay. That's cool with me.
All right, black man. Black power. Let me get to the next call here, brother. Let me get to the next call.
All right. Black power, brother.
All right, Black Power. Eric code 702-256-702-256. You're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about the politics in the community, the condition of black people, what's happening, all kind of things. What's going on? Welcome, Black Power to you.
Yo, please, Black Power. I guess, you know what I mean, I'm back in the call queue again. I was on earlier, prior, but, you know, Black Power. It's your man, Jalon, out Denver,
Black
Colorado.
Power. Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I'm just home in on the Blackonomics. You know, that's definitely crucial. Again, to support black family, black businesses, again, produce something yourself. Become more creative, more productive. You know, we lagging in the politics, we lagging in the economics, our institutions, our education, religious, spiritual structures. You know, we need to formulate our own, no question.
No question about it. I mean, we used to lag. We lagging as a people, but I mean, like I'm saying, I'm not, and I'm going to sound very biased because I'm the chief of staff for the party, but the new Black Panther Party is pushing a whole lot. We got some institutions. We working on some farmlands. We need other people to, you know, help us in these projects, brother. So I mean, with a mind like what you got, you in Denver, Colorado, what I would tell you is to register with us and get busy and help. You know, we need more people to help in the program, because see, we got a big black nation that we got to reach, and not enough helpers. Now that old song goes, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, look for us, man, and help with us. And then I got another project coming up. I'm not gonna let the cat out the bag, but it's gonna be dealing with this poverty. Everybody's gonna love it if you know this poverty thing, man. We're gonna really work on the poverty of black people. We really need your help, brother. So make sure that you contact with us. I'm going to give you a number to call at the end of the show. And then call that number, man, and get in touch with us. And we want to help you there in Denver and help each other, man. Build up something real.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, God. I was out there a couple weeks ago for the UFO conference, and that's when I met Brother Perry. He just texted me the number earlier, so, you know, I tuned in. So, yeah, I was building with him in some tech down 125th Harlem. So, yeah, we out here. Yeah, I'm definitely get your information, man. The journalism, everything. You know, I could write too. 1,000, you know, it's really nothing. So, you know, whatever we need.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We definitely need participation. If you there with Brother Perry, man, you were good people. And I co-signed Perry and all of my comrades. So I will be in touch with you, brother, and get in touch with us too, all right?
Yes, indeed, Brother Sean, Black Power.
All right, brother, Black Power. Next caller here, your area code is 904-802. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about the politics of the community, waking our people up, what's this going to take, and a whole lot more. Come on in. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, greetings. Giving honor to the Lord who's ahead of my life, the Honorable Khalid Abdul Muhammad, Malik Zulu Shabazz, and Hazim Nzinga, the National Chief of Staff. How you doing? Greetings, Light Power. Good evening, everyone.
Greetings. Sounds like Sister Michelle Williams. How are you?
No, this is Sister Maya Uba, Jacksonville Chapter, Jacksonville, Florida. How you doing?
Samaya, there she is. My bad. You had a Michelle Williams voice going on. What's up, Queen?
Nothing. The black politics, I'm going to speak on that a little bit. You haven't heard me speak in a, I don't think you ever heard me speak. But I think for us black people, as far as politics is about our looks and how we sound. I think a lot of the black people don't know exactly what their particular rights are and how far they can go and how far they can push on what they think can get done. Last week I've just came back at one of my jobs like a year and a half ago, and this guy was a manager, and he's been knocked down as a manager by the things he said. But when he came at this sister right here, I went to a management and I let them know. I'm like, look, if you all don't get this guy and sit him down, because the things he said to me off the cuff, with me being a political activist, I should boycott the hell out of this damn business, because he said things about my hair. He said things about what I got going on. He said things about my tattoo. When all those other crackers are in there showing their tattoos and showing their skin and all this other crap, but you won't ask me about my hair? Don't you, cracker, don't you ever ask me about my hair when your hair looks and smells like goddamn wet dog. So I told him again, I said, if y'all crackers, I ain't telling like just that in them words. I say, if y'all don't get him, I'm going to make a non-anonymous call to my HR department, and I bet you y'all, he'll come off of me then. That crocker haven't said nothing to me in the last week. He haven't looked my way. And when a group of our colleagues are get together talking about sales, that crocker walk away from me and he walked the opposite direction. He won't even look me in my eye right now because I know they said something to him. He makes a beeline every time he see me now.
Good. That's what he should do.
And that's what he's going to do every time until I leave that damn building. Because if he ever come to me again, it ain't gonna be a threat to the management for them to get him off of me, because they're going to be having to get me off of him.
Well, good. All I can say is good. Hell, that's great. I'm not.
Also, I heard. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I'm not mad at you at all for standing up for yourself. So hell.
But that's the thing about everybody is laughing about it because he made these jokes to everybody. He's everybody at the job and like, look, y'all need to know when these crackers just keep making these smart aleck comments to y'all, they not saying it out of joke and y'all just laughing about it. He mean that shit for real, and I mean he mean that shit for real, but I'm not finna stand up for it. I'm not finna let you talk to me about it, and you're not finna talk about nobody else around me so I can hear and disrespect our race like that, because we don't do it to y'all. Y'all do it to us, and we want us to brush it up on the rug. No, it's not going to be brushed on the rug, not when I'm around.
You know, doubt about it. You got the right kind of spirit, sister. Don't let nobody punk you. Continue to be strong.
Ain't nobody going to punk me, but like Sister Deja was saying in the social media, if I don't see it on Facebook, I don't know anything about the Beyonce and the Solange thing, everybody coming up on Facebook about all that stuff. If I don't see it, I don't even watch TV. I don't even want to hear about that mess. There's so much other things that's in the world that we need to be focused on besides that BS that the crackers want us to listen to. They want us to be stared away from what we need to be knowing and learning, and to keep up with the Hollywood horrors of America, because they want to keep us in blind. They want to keep us with the blinders on when we need to be like the horses, take them damn blinders off, and be buck ass wild, just like they ass did.
Absolutely, we're not gonna fall for the okie doke, sister. We understand that we gotta fight, and we gotta struggle. But that we're great people. We got a living legacy, and all we got to do is play our part. I gotta move forward to get to this next part of the show, sister. But if you're gonna hang with me for the next segment. We're going into Dr. Marvin Delaney. He got a statue for the great brother Delaney, who was the founder of Black Nationalism. He's really like the pioneer of Black Nationalism in America. And we're going to talk about him and talk to him. He's an associate professor, so if you can hang with me for the next segment, hang in there. But I got to get the next call in, my sister.
No doubt. Black power.
All right. Black power. Brothers and sisters, let me do this because we were right there about 10 minutes out. I'm going to grab me a quick drink of water. You do the same. Get you a quick drink of water. And but kick back. Don't you go nowhere. We're coming right back in at 10:30 Eastern Time with Brother Marvin Delaney, who is, I'm hoping, somewhere related to Martin Delaney, the pioneer of Black Nationalism. But he's been fighting hard over the years, and one of the key figures that has helped to raise up Minister Hashim Nzinga and that Pan-Africanist community there in Texas and South Carolina and all over. He's a well-traveled man and a walking book. I want you all to come back with me in about 10 minutes here. We'll take a quick intermission, grab us some water, we'll stretch. We'll come back in with our national chairman, the General Minister Hashim Nzinga, and we'll come in with our brother and associate professor, Brother Marvin Delaney, right here at this number, right here with Black Power Radio.
As it seems, the American dream ain't nothing but another calculated scheme to get us locked up, shut up and back insane. Two deniers of the future, rob our names, kept my history.